Welcome to worship. It's a great day, and it's wonderful to be in the house of the Lord this morning. We are delighted to have a pickup choir this morning, so you have that to look forward to. And we're talking about the parable of the talents and how we have to kind of sometimes move out of our comfort zone and use the gifts God has given us to maybe do things that we don't normally do. So be sure to thank the pickup choir, because that's exactly what they're going to be doing this morning. You'll hear them in a little while. So we have a great worship experience for you this morning in listening to them. But let's open our time together with prayer, asking the Lord to come and bless our hour of worship. Would you pray with me? Dear Lord, thank you for your presence. Thank you for the reality of your amazing grace. That's why we're here. We're not here because we have earned anything or any right to come into your presence. We come into your presence because you've forgiven us. You've set us free by your grace alone. So, Lord, help us to be grateful this morning. We can't even be grateful on our own. Lord, fill us with your Spirit so that we can sing with gratitude and praise your holy name. You who held back nothing for us. You who have given us amazing grace. In Jesus' name, amen. That's Mac Johansson, one of the leaders. And then also, Todd, could you use a few more people too? Okay, so it's all in the back of your bulletin. Take the opportunity. They really need people, see, during the week. They have a lot of volunteers on the weekends, but during the week they need folks. And it's just inspiring to be able to give in this way. So please consider that. And thank you again, Brenda, for saying that. Speaking of recovery, actually, I'm taking a team of 8 people down to Fuller. We're going to be down there this week at an NACR conference, which stands for National Association of Christians in Recovery. We're going to be listening to speakers. I have a chance to speak, and we're just going to be listening to some inspiring stories of what God can do in churches when people hit bottom and realize that it's grace. It's all about grace, and they start to trust God in a whole new way. So please pray for us while we're down there this week, and I think it's going to be really a great time. All right, again, pray for the pickup choir. They're coming up. Pickup choir means they just rehearsed this Sunday, okay? So do pray for them as the service is going on. And if you would rise, please, and greet somebody that you don't know. And if during this time, the children could also come forward. We'll have a children's message in a minute. Come on down, kids.
Good morning. Huh?
Happy birthday.
No.
Good morning, kid. I know you all want to visit some more, but I have an important story to share with the kids. So, hey, so you guys, we've been talking about Jesus tells parables, right? Which were like stories that teach a lesson. And in today's parable that Jesus told, it's a story of a very wealthy man who is going on a trip. And he calls his 3 servants in and he says, I'm leaving you in charge of all of my wealth while I'm gone. And he divvied up his money, and he said, when I come back, I want to see you guys are taking good care of my business, because I'm going to be gone a long time. In a parable, it always has another meaning. And the master is God, and we are the servants. And God gives us all things, wonderful gifts to use, not to hide away, but to use to make his kingdom grow. And the 2 servants who used their money to help the rich man's wealth grow, they were rewarded. But the person who didn't use their gift, they thought it was too small to use. There's no gift too small. God gives good gifts, and we need to use them. Let's go talk about that some more, okay? Stand up with us, pray. Over here. By me. Come on. Up. Stand up. Walk here. There we go. Let me pray with you. Are you coming? All right. Father, thank you for the good gifts you give us and help us to use them to grow your kingdom and for that we could come to know you even more and love you even more. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Let's go.
Thank you, Tara. a picture is worth a thousand words, isn't it? I think I could not even preach and it would be okay, given that wonderful video. At this time, though, I'd like to take any prayer requests you might have or thanksgivings, praises. So if you have something that you'd like prayer for, just put your hand in the air and we will pray for it. All right, let's join together in prayer. Lord God, we come to you as your people, grateful for your command that we can bring everything to you, thanking you for the fact that you're a God who not only holds the universe in place, but you're a God who picks up sparrows and who knows how many hairs are on our head. You are a God who is intimately concerned about all of our ways. And we praise you, Lord, for each person this morning who got up and who came here. You put that in their heart, Lord. You brought them here. You brought every person here this morning so that together we can pray, together we can worship, together we can look up and remember what really matters. It's you, Lord God. It's you in our lives. That's our priority. That's our song. And so this morning we bring these requests to you and thanksgivings, knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that you hear us. What an awesome moment this is. We are speaking to you, our Creator, our Lord, our Savior, who held nothing back, not even your own life, for our sake. We get to talk to you in this moment. So we bring these things to you, Lord, these things that have been expressed here today. We praise you, Lord, that Parker is with us. We're so glad that he's doing better. Lord, I pray for continued healing for him and strength for Sue. Lord, we're so glad that nothing worse happens. And I pray that you'd lift Parker up inside and encourage him. And again, Lord, give him the physical health that he needs to carry on. We are grateful, Lord, for both of them. What an important couple they are here to our congregation. With Debbie Dunkley, we pray for Melba and Sterling Swanson for encouragement for them and for healing. We give you praise for Dick Frosch and for the fact that he can now move his shoulder without pain. We prayed that the surgery would go well, and it did. And we thank you for that answered prayer, and we thank you that he's here this morning. And we pray for all the open staff positions here at West Valley. Lord, we pray for this a lot. We pray that you'd bring just the right people to fill those slots. And we ask, Lord, that your spirit would move and show us exactly who you want, and that we would respond, that we'd be obedient to your call on that one. With Sandy, Lord, we pray for her stepson, who was injured on the job with a back injury and a potential leg injury. We ask for healing for him, Lord, and that somehow, Lord, you would use this event to bring him closer to you. Sometimes when we're debilitated and we can't go any further, we throw ourselves on your mercy and grace, and we find that you're really there. You are that safety net for us that catches us when we cannot do it on our own anymore. With Christy, we pray for Brandon, and we're so glad that everything went well with his surgery, and we pray now that you would work in his shoulder to bring about nerve regeneration, that you would touch him right now, Lord, and may he feel your healing happening even now. Thank you so much that he was able to sing this morning. We just are so glad to see him when he's here, and we just pray for total and complete healing, Lord, for complete direction in his life and encouragement in his heart. With Mac, Lord, we pray for Amber, and we ask that you would bless her and keep her, and Lord, protect her from the enemy. We ask that you would be with her as she begins her first week in the Teen Challenge program, and we pray that you would keep her on the straight and narrow, Lord, and help this to be a time of her complete recovery as she begins that. Lord, we pray with Betty Rager that you would keep her standing and that there would be no more falling. We pray that you would continue to heal her from this last fall that was so hard. And Lord, I just pray you'd protect her and surround her with your grace and your presence. Lord, we're grateful that Sally Lance is with us this morning. We've missed her in our congregation, and we pray that you would touch her now and that you would bring her complete and total health. by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord. I pray that she'd be able to get out. I pray that you give her energy. I pray that you give her comfort. And I pray that we would surround her with the support that she needs. Lord, bless her and thank you for her. With Sally, we pray for Tommy, her grandson, who's had a concussion. We pray for continued healing for him. And we pray that for his whole family, that he would be able to heal in a place of serenity and peace. And with Pat, we pray for her and give you grateful thanks for her granddaughter who's getting married. And we're so grateful for that, Lord. And we also lift up to her, her daughter-in-law, Allison, whose mother just died. We pray that you would comfort her. And we pray, Lord, that she would know your peace. And also perhaps, Lord, in this, be drawn closer to you as she realizes that you are the resurrection and the life. And with Pamela, we pray for her nephew, James, who's in boot camp in the Marines. And this is very difficult, and he's had a very hard week. We just pray that you'd be there with him, Lord, to sustain him and keep him and help him to look forward to the future. May he know that you are in this and that may he sense your presence and be given the strength that he needs to carry on. Lord, thank you so much for our church and thank you so much for the Church Universal that sings your praises this morning throughout the world. We ask, Lord, that we would never be discouraged, that we would never feel as if you are not there. We know, Lord, that you are always there, and we pray that you would encourage our faith to take risks, to use the gifts you've given us for your glory and honor, that your kingdom might be spread from shore to shore, that you might be glorified. And now, as our Savior taught us, we pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Today's scripture reading is from Matthew 25, 14 to 30. Again, it was like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To the one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. When the man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you have entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. The master replied, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the master who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. And throw the worthless servant outside into the darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Here's the reading of the scripture.
Would you pray with me? Lord God, give us ears to hear what you want us to receive this morning so that we can truly be your people in word and deed. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I don't know about you, but when I saw the video, I thought, oh, the end of it, you know. I wish that the master hadn't quite been so harsh for the little children sitting up here, and it kind of seemed unfair. I don't know if any of you had just a little bit of feeling that way. And I want to answer the unfairness question in a minute by doing a little object lesson, but before I do that, I want to give you all a quiz. Okay, you ready? I want a show of hands for the right answer. Gene was reading from a version that said talent, and up on the screen it said bag of gold. But the word that I use in the NRSV that I often use is talent. So I'm going to ask you, how much was a talent worth? A, $10, B, $50, C, $100, or more than $1,000. So how many of you say A? A, $10. Okay, talent worth $10. How many of you say B, that talent was worth $50? Okay. C, $100? All right. How many of you say more than $1,000? Okay, so a majority on D. Number two, I'll tell you the answer in a minute. Okay, number two, who owned their talents? Everyone, one of them, or none of them? How many of you say all of them owned their talents? There's one. And then who says B, one of them? And who said C? Who says C? None of them. Okay, majority rules on that one. Number three, and be honest, this parable is totally unfair. It is wrong to take the talent from the servant who only has one talent and give it to the servant who has more. How many of you agree that this is unfair? Ah, thank you for being... Okay, so we have some honest people out there. Okay, it does seem totally unfair. And how many of you disagree that it's not unfair? Okay, so here are the answers. Answer number one, for the first answer, those of you that chose the letter D are correct. A talent was more than $1,000, which at the time of Jesus was equal to 15 years of a full-time salary. 15 years of... So take what you're making if you're working today. Multiply it by 15, that's how much a talent was worth back then. People listening to Jesus telling this story were supposed to get the message that this master was extremely generous and was giving out of an enormous amount to his servants. Hugely generous, trusting them with incredible amounts of money. And I think it's important that we remember how generous God is. I think sometimes we begin to think that God is stingy or aloof or unwilling to give. And that's totally not the God that Jesus preaches about. He always talks about a God who is generous. In fact, Paul writes about God's generosity in Ephesians 1:3. He says, "Praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." Generous God, incredibly wanting to give to us. Then 2 Peter 3, this is Peter now. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. God is this giver who gives. And then Romans 8:32, this is God. He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? So in this parable, God is a giver, generous, giving us a lot, giving us so much. But if you don't want to look at the witness of Scripture, look at creation, right? It's abundant in beauty and unnecessary frills. You know, we don't need color to survive, but there it is. And we don't have to have music or mountains or flowers or any of that stuff, but it's all here. God's a generous giver. He loves to create. Gives and creates abundantly, abundant in his provision, not stingy, bare bones and afraid to give too much to us because we might get spoiled. No, we spoil our kids when we give too much of the wrong thing to them, too much of the wrong thing to them. But God gives us the right things and he gives it to us in abundance. God is a giver. with limitless resources. He is generous. That is why one of our core values at West Valley is extravagant generosity, because that is who God is, and we're meant to reflect that. Because when we trust God, we don't have to be afraid. We give easily and well. So even the servant who received one talent received a lot of money. Okay, 15 times our annual salary. His annual salary. But to be relative to our day and age, that's how much it would be today if it was our salary. So as he began his parable, what did Jesus want the people to do? He wanted their jaw to drop open. You got to be kidding me. A master would give his servants that much? Would he trust his servants with that huge amount? Okay, that's what he wanted them to do. Okay, so now answer number two. Who owned their talent? None of them. And you got this. The right answer is C. None of the abundance of money given ever belonged to the servants, ever, ever. It was on loan from the master. They were given what they were given for a limited amount of time, after which it all went back to the master. They were multiplying what he had given them by using their talents wisely, but it was always hands down, no holds barred for the master. It was the master's money. It was going back to him. So as I said, the correct answer to the second question, and you all got it, is C. We didn't bring anything into this world with us. We're not taking anything with us when we die. It all belongs to God. God gives us the gifts we have right now in this life. Nobody knows what tomorrow holds. He says, use what I've given you for the kingdom. It's on loan. It's on loan. Use it. Use it for my glory. All right? It's all from him. He loans it to us. We use it for his glory. It goes back to him. So our very lives go back to him. So how will you live yours? And then three, for answer number three, the answer is B. And I thank you for those of you that were honest and said, yes, it does seem unfair. But this parable is not unfair. And let me explain this by acting it out. I have a few gifts for you this morning, and they're in these bags down here. So I'm going to give them out. I need to find somebody who looks like they might need a gift this morning. Let's see. Here you go. All right. And let's see. Here you go. All right. And I'm going to give Anton a gift, too, because you did such good music. All right. Here you go, Anton. Anton and I have worked this out ahead of time. So I'm going to hand Anton a microphone so we can do our little dialogue together. So what did you get? Somebody got crayons. Who's got the crayons? Who's got the crayons? You got the crayons, right? Are you going to look at the crayons and put them on the mantle and say, what nice crayons these are? Is that what you're going to do? No, you're going to hopefully... Now, there's paper in there. Did you know that? You take what's been given to you, the crayons, and draw something. And you can give it to me after the service. I won't let you out, though, until you give me a picture. All right. So that's a gift given that you use. All right. You don't just look at it and say, oh, nice crayons, lovely color. God says, use this gift for my glory. All right. Who has the Lego? You have the Lego. Are you going to put the Lego on the mantle and look at it and say, wow, look at that little red cube with bumps? You're going to use them. We didn't script this ahead of time. You're going to use them and build something. So you don't get out of here until you show me your structure. All right? All right. The Lego structure. Now, Anton, you got the cookie dough, right? It has to be you who got the cookie dough, right?
Correct.
All right. So you're not just going to look at that dough. You're going to cut it and work with the dough and bake some cookies maybe?
I really don't want to open it up. It just looks so pretty.
Why not? Why don't you want to open it up?
That's going to mean I'm obligated to bake the cookies. I'd rather just hold on to the gift and just admire how beautifully it's wrapped and keep it in the closet.
But if you do that, do you understand that the cookie dough is going to get stale and it actually might turn green? And actually, I got it at Safeway and it needs to be, you know, refrigerated, and then you use it, and it's not being refrigerated right now, so you better use it.
I really don't want to risk burning the cookies. I've done it before, and it was a big fail. Besides, I don't have all the time to cut the dough. It's just so gross. It just gets into my nails. It's just rather slimy. I'd prefer just keeping it, and it just looks great.
So you're not going to open the cookies? And you're
I'd
not going to bake them?
Rather not.
You're just going to keep them?
Mm-hmm.
But that's wasting the gift that I gave to you. It's supposed to be used. If you don't bake the cookie, you'll never take the risk to bake the cookie. You'll never be able to enjoy it. And you can share the cookies with others. It's such a great gift.
Burn cookies.
Sorry, Anton. You know what? I got to take the cookie dough back. Oh, there it is. You didn't even hold on to the bag. I'm going to give this to Greg Hobbs and let Greg Hobbs, you don't have to bake them before you leave, but maybe bring them to the next meal, all right? So hopefully that explains a little bit why this parable isn't so unfair. Because if I give something to someone and they don't use it, then you waste it. And I want to give it to Greg Hobbs because I know he's going to bake the cookies. I know that about you, Greg. I know you're not afraid to open up the dough and make that gift into something that all of us can enjoy. I'm expecting a cookie next week. I talked to a woman once, and she said to me, you know, I used to be a joyful Christian, she said. When I became a Christian, in fact, I was flooded with joy, but it didn't last. And she said, now my faith is stale. My prayers are routine, and life is flat. What is wrong? And I was rather blunt in my answer, and I asked her these questions. I said, what did you do to share your joy when you had it? What risk did you take in following Jesus? Were you involved in the adventures of sharing your faith? Were you involved with people who were hurting? Did your faith make a difference where you live, at home, at work, at school? How did you invest what you had so that you multiplied what you'd been given and shared it with others? And she couldn't answer me. We lose spiritual joy and vitality if we don't share what we've been given. Even what we have will be then taken away, if that makes sense. Sometimes we can think of our faith or church life as maintaining what is, keeping things safe and the same. When we do that, we identify with the servant who hid his talent in the ground. We might think, well, if I can just get through my life without too many crises, I'll be satisfied. If I can do reasonably well at my profession, raise a decent family, keep out of trouble, and retire comfortably, I'll be okay. But where's the risk to challenge the investment in something beyond myself with that kind of outlook? Beyond just getting by, staying safe because I'm afraid I'm going to burn the cookies so I never get the delight of sharing them, eating them, fellowshipping with others. We can be daring, you see, as Christians, because we belong to a generous God who loves us. And if we stay too safe, we'll never live. We'll never experience how faithful God is when we step out. Jesus risked everything, by the way. He loved people and poured everything out for them. He didn't just get by so he could have a comfortable life. And Jesus is constantly calling us to do something beyond the mediocrity of a safe and buried talent. As a church, we are not primarily about preservation. I will say that again. As a church, we are not primarily about preservation. Rather, the church exists to multiply the talent of abundant life in the world, to multiply the love of Jesus. And I know there are a lot of needs out there, and it can be overwhelming. But what we know is this. What we cannot do can sometimes dissuade us from doing what we can, if that makes sense. So we're so overwhelmed with all the needs that we don't do anything, right? We don't want to bury our talent in the ground because we're overwhelmed or scared or don't see anyone else doing anything. Sometimes the lethargy of others can give us the wrong benchmark. Friends, the call to the Christian life is a call to high adventure. We are the spiritually wealthy ones. We've been loved, we've been forgiven, we've been healed, and all that we have, all that we own is on loan. It doesn't belong to us. God has given it to us to use for Him. It's all equipment for the adventure of sharing with others the kingdom of God. I remember trying to learn how to rock climb it at some event way back when. I was standing by a rock wall years ago, and I didn't know anything about rock climbing. And the side of the rock was sheer and flat. And I said to the guy that was trying to help me, how can I ever scale a surface like that when it's sheer and there's no place, no footing? That, there you have some footing, but the one that I was on, there was no footing. And the guy said, you don't have any equipment on yet. Wait till I gear you up and there will be no surface that you cannot scale. God has given us the resources of the power of the Holy Spirit to equip us to do amazing things for the kingdom of God. He's equipped us for high adventure. Opportunity awaits us when we use what He's given us to promote His purpose in the world. Lloyd Ogilvie, chaplain in the U.S. Senate, said this, "The Christian life is not just a conservation of values, but a confrontation with opportunity." I like that quote. I hope you feel that way today, that your Christian life is a risk-taking confrontation with opportunity. The risk part of the Christian life is why Jesus had to keep reminding people of how good God was. And He said, you can take this risk because God will catch you. God will come through for you. God is faithful. God does love you. And when we know that, we're more likely to step out and take the risks. Take money, for instance, since that's what this parable is about. But it really has to do with any kind of gift we're given. Money can just suck the life out of you if you don't hold it loosely and share it. It can make you so preoccupied that you miss the life you're living. More couples argue about finances than anything else, surveys show. So here are three basic lessons that we can learn from this parable. Number one, everyone's been given something that they can use to further God's work. Money, time, talent. Even I still remember the dear woman in the nursing home I went to. You wouldn't think she had anything to give. She says, now is a season in my life when I can pray. Let me know who I can pray for. What an amazing thing to say. Number two, when we use what we've been given for God, it grows in power. It multiplies. It becomes bigger and better than we ever thought, and the adventure begins. The joy quotient goes up. When we don't use the gifts we've been given, our gifts grow stale. Our joy quotient goes down. One story from one church happened when a group of junior high youth who wanted to donate to a local mission had an idea. They took $10 they had all collected among themselves and turned it all into pennies. And they went from door to door in their neighborhood and asked people, if I give you one penny, will you give me two pennies? They tripled the amount. And they started to do this week after week because they just had so much fun together. And they kept giving it to mission, and they just had so much fun they kept doing it, and they gave all this money to mission. It was a wonderful experience. Their joy quotient went up, and they helped people, and they multiplied for the kingdom of God. And then three, and I'm going to have Rosalie just share for a minute. God uses ordinary people, servants equipped by Him, to do extraordinary things. Our faith grows when we take a risk. So often when I'm preaching on a certain topic, things just come to me during the week. And Rosalie came to me and told me what she was doing. She said this remarkable thing. She says, I am going to go to Teen Challenge because I want God to kick my butt. That's what you said, right? I hope no one's offended by that. But quite frankly, I truly honor that statement because what she wants is challenge. She wants God to put her into a situation that's different, that's going to use the gifts that you have, that's going to make you step out of your comfort zone to take a risk and to meet the opportunity as He gives it to you. So, you know, Rosalie, she was an intern here. She's now worshiping with us, even though her internship here has stopped. She's now doing her internship at Teen Challenge, and we want to hear from her how God has led her and what those challenges are. So come on up.
So I wanted to share with you some wisdom that I received from my mother when I was growing up. Every time I was faced with a challenge or something scary that I didn't want to do, that I'd never done before, she always said to me, just do it. It builds character. But at the same time, my father was kind of telling me, you know, don't make mistakes. You're going to do it wrong. So he was sort of sending the message not to take risks. So I had these conflicting messages going on. But then as a Christian, I'm realizing that facing challenges and taking risks and not being afraid to make mistakes not only builds character, but it makes me see God's immense, immeasurable glory and his power in so many ways. I love that. So as Kim mentioned, when I was interning here back in January, she came in to me one afternoon and she said, Rosalie, there's a man in the lobby and he needs to talk to someone. And she just briefed me for a few minutes. And I thought, okay, have I ever dealt with a walk-in before? No. Do I know what his particular issues are or his particular needs? No, not really. So what did I say? I said, sure, I'd be happy to. So I met with this man. His name was Ron. And he was he felt so hopeless. He was crying. He just shared with me a lot of his story, his life, and he was just crying, and he felt like God had given up on him. God was mad at him. He turned his back on him, and this was the end of the line for Ron. And so I listened to him, and I encouraged him. I asked a few questions, but those are my talents, are those relational things. I just listened a lot, and I encouraged him. So I invested those talents in Ron that afternoon, but at the same time, it changed my life. That was a life-changing experience for me because I saw through his words and his story, wow, there's a hurting world out there. There is a really hurting world outside of these church walls. And I thought, you know, I'm not sure that I want to wait for people to come who are in need. Maybe I should go out and find them. So I have to do a second internship. And I thought, maybe I should do something that's a little more in alignment with some of Ron's stories and his experiences. So I thought of Team Challenge, which is, you know, similar to City Team Ministries. Folks have had some hard lives. They struggle with drug addiction, with alcoholism. So I'm going to be working with these women that have had some of these really tough things happen to them, like maybe some childhood abuse, molestation, I don't know, but I do want God to kick my butt. I do want to grow in this experience. I do want to learn. I want my faith to grow, my character to grow, my humility, my compassion, all those things. And I may discover new talents that I can reinvest in people. But I want to be available to him. You know, I want to push the envelope. And like, you know, Kim mentioned in her message, I really want to take risks. I want to have that freedom to take risks. So, and I know that Jesus is so much bigger than any effort I make that it's going to be well worth it. And so for me, you know, getting risks takes a lot easier because I know God, I trust him, and I know him because I read his word, and he's so trustworthy and he's so generous, as our parable tells us. You know, Robert Schuller said something once. He said, better to do something imperfectly than to do nothing flawlessly. So that's what I want to do. I don't think we're meant to live these safe little lives. I think that Jesus longs for him to join us in this adventure that Kim was talking about. And I think that's the meaning of living an abundant life, is joining him in that adventure. But I need to get outside of my comfort zone. I need to invest in something beyond myself, as Kim said. And, you know, as she mentioned the word mediocrity, I think mediocrity or being complacent are just horrible words. I just don't want that complacency. I don't think we're called to be that as Christians. So playing it safe and taking the easy way out is not really living to me. So I'm really excited to see what God's going to do with the talents that I share at Teen Challenge. And I trust that he's going to, you know, as I invest in this opportunity, he's going to multiply my efforts. I know that's going to happen. I believe that trusting him and taking risks really pays off. It really pays dividends. But if I don't try, I'm really holding him back too. So I'm excited to be someone who's gone from being hesitant to take risks to being someone who is excited to embrace them. And I know that taking risks with Jesus can be an exciting adventure. So I'm really excited about doing that. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Rosalie. We're going to sing Take My Life and Let It Be. And as we sing that, just ask the Lord, what do you have for me? We get all this information on Sunday. But What do you have for me? How do you want me to step out? What's the calling you have for me? How can I take a risk and learn to trust you a little bit more and experience more joy in my life? Let's sing that together. Go out knowing that God has given you tremendous, abundant gifts to enjoy and to use for His good pleasure. Go out in peace. Have courage. Hold on to that which is good. Return no person evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Honor everyone. Love and serve the Lord. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, who empowers us for adventure, be with you. Amen.